Good morning, good morning, good morning. And it's time for City Matters right here on K1. If it matters to the city, it matters to you. And vice versa. How you doing there, City
Absolutely.
Manager Mike Bailey?
Good morning. How are you doing?
If I knew you were coming, I'd wear orange.
You could get me in trouble.
Oh, well,
you're going to get me in trouble. Now my wife knows that I've been telling that story. She's
okay.
An OSU grad. So look what you've done. Well, we were just talking about it. Mike is an OSU fan, and he was about to start dancing to whatever that music was.
Oh, okay.
I told him the camera was on, and don't embarrass yourself.
Can't do that. What's shaking this week?
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to start with what happened last week. We had a little bit of a tragedy in our community. We lost a man named Ted Locken, and I suspect that most people know who Ted was. I know Ted through my association with the city. In fact, he was one of the first people I met back when I was still an auditor that was auditing the city. Ted was the mayor at the time. And in fact, Ted served on the city council from 1997 through 2005. He served most of that time as the mayor of Bartlesville. Retired and stayed retired for all of about 6 years before he decided to come off the bench and get back into public service. Served from 2011 to 2016. So I got to know Ted really well. It's interesting. He retired, and I'll put quotes on that for those of y'all who are watching. He retired in 2016 from council service, but Ted definitely never left the city. He was a frequent visitor of City Hall. He was incredibly enthusiastic about our community. He never ran out. He was boundless energy and never ran out of ideas and had great vision and energy. So we'll certainly miss him. We lost him a week ago on Sunday. He was 89 years old, so he definitely had a very full life, and he is a big part of our community. Now, he's one of the few public officials I know of that have a water plant named after them. And, in fact, it's the Ted Locken water plant, and that was done primarily because of the role that Ted took in helping to secure water supply, long-term water supply. So he saw us through a pretty significant crisis. It was right after I moved back to town. And anybody who was here at the time and went up and saw Hula Lake knows exactly what I'm talking about. You could pretty much walk across it. About all we had left was the river channel. So there was a significant drought, and Ted was the mayor at the time. He started and helped to head up a group called the Water Resources Committee. And was a huge part of that for a number of years. And so the work that he started and that others continued finally actually culminated about 2 years ago when Senator Inhofe was here to sign an agreement with the Corps of Engineers in the city of Bartlesville to allow us to get water from Copan Lake. So now we have water from two Corps lakes. So it takes a long time in government to get anything done. It takes men like Ted and everyone that came after him to see that happens. So we certainly lost a champion in our community, and we will definitely miss him. And we also had, we lost Ted on Sunday. On Monday, we had a council meeting, and honestly, it was one of the shortest council meetings I've ever been part of, but it had probably one of the weightier items that I've ever been part of.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about my association with the city. It goes back, I've worked here 16 years, and before that, I was an auditor for 3 years, so almost 20 years in my association. And I know when I very first started as an auditor, one of the things that was a topic of conversation was a use tax. And so for almost 20 years, the city of Bartlesville has been aware of this and has discussed it, its need. However, use tax, just to give a brief history on it, initially, use tax was a business only tax. It was sort of voluntary tax. When you have something that's voluntary, most people are not going to comply. The people that did comply are the people that had big compliance departments and had tax attorneys that worked for them. So it was primarily a business tax. And in the interest of staying a business friendly community, we never adopted a use tax. So we have not had a use tax for, well, all that time. That was fine as long as it remained primarily a business use tax, or a business tax. However, with the advent of some law changes, internet sales tax became use tax. Mm-hmm. And so, unfortunately for Bartlesville, that meant that when everyone else started to collect internet sales tax, we did not, because it really, we called it sales tax, but it was use tax. Mm-hmm. So that became fairly significant, because what we're seeing is a huge growth in online sales that are eroding the more traditional sales. So we began having conversations with some of our major businesses, with the council, to determine if now was the right time to adopt a use tax. Certainly, 20 years ago was not. But what we determined was is that I think everybody could agree on a date in the future that would be a good date to adopt a use tax. But before we, I'm going to turn this over to Jason. He can kind of talk about what it means for everybody. Before we talk about that, it's interesting always to note how common use tax is. So the top 100 cities by population, Bartlesville is the only city without a use tax. And so in order to find the next largest city without a use tax, you have to go all the way down to a city named Bethel Acres. And I think they're 3,400 population, something of that nature.
A little over 3,000.
Yeah. So Bethel Acres is actually the next largest. And if you go all the way down and say all cities over a population of 1,500, there's two of them that don't have a use tax. And you guessed it. It's Bartlesville and Bethel Acres. So those are the only two cities that didn't have a use tax. So it's become incredibly common. The reason that it's common is because as online sales erode traditional sales, then you're having a difficult time providing the same level of service that the people have come to expect. So this closes that loophole. It's not effective immediately, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. But Jason, so what the Bartlesville City Council last Monday passed a use tax with a delayed implementation date. What date is that effective?
The use tax is going to affect January 1st, 2023.
And so that's the first time that anybody should see any impact from this.
That's the first time people should actually be truly charged use tax from the city of Bartlesville.
And so now they're probably already paying use tax on online purchases.
Currently, if you're buying from Amazon, eBay, whatnot, I think they even call it sales tax. They don't even call it use tax.
Right.
They call it sales tax. And if you're within the Bartlesville city limits, it'll show an 8.9% sales tax rate, which would be the equivalent of our sales tax here. However, it's technically use tax, and we don't have use tax. So when they true up the sale and actually debit your account, you're actually getting charged for the state's 4.5% use tax.
So
there's a lot of confusion. A lot of confusion.
So most people think that they're paying it already, yes, because Amazon will show you that you're going to pay 8.9%, but in reality, they only charge 4.5%.
Yeah, and if you pay attention to it, it's an estimated tax, yep, is what you're paying, and then they true it up to what's actually owed at the completion of the sale.
So a little confusing, but right now, if you're shopping online, you're paying a use tax, but you're only paying the state's portion of the use tax.
State's 4.5%.
Should be paying 4.5%. Yes. So what date? So it's
January 1st will be the date it goes into effect.
2023.
Right?
So on January 1st, 2023, you should begin being charged at that point in time, 8.9, or no, I'm sorry, not 8.9%, because this is just Bartlesville,
yes,
and the state, 7.9%. Yeah, because the county has a 1%.
County has a 1% sales tax.
They've not yet adopted a use tax. They may, but they've not yet at this point.
So I guess this technically probably won't make the amount that Amazon's showing.
Right,
right?
It'll still be a little confusing.
7.9% of our
state. You're exactly right.
Perfect.
So,
yeah. Amazon are amazing.
they've managed to make this confusing topic even worse, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I have people contact me all the time and say, I'm already paying 8.9. You're probably not. Check your credit card receipt. It'll be different than the invoice that Amazon showed you. So, so Bartlesville citizens really, is that all they can expect to see is for online sales?
It should be from any sale from someone that does a certain volume of business in the state of Oklahoma that's an out of state company.
So somebody who traditionally has not collected sales tax now will begin collecting use tax, and it'll look just like sales tax to the person.
I'm assuming for 90% of the people out there that are ordering products via the internet or some kind of electronic process, they'll probably see it. I'm certain there's going to be places that people probably can do business with that don't meet the threshold.
Should be some smaller
with the state of Oklahoma that will have to true that up on their tax time.
But for the average citizen, what this means is that you're going to begin paying.
You'll begin paying the City of Bartlesville sales tax amount.
On your online sales.
Just like you would do at Walmart or just like you would have done it at any store in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, whether it's Moxie or Staples or wherever.
And that's kind of where, you know, this thing began was the Internet Fairness Act, I believe, was the original thing because our local retailers have a disadvantage to online retailers. Yeah. Just in the tax phase.
And it was an unfair disadvantage because it wasn't based on price or service, because I think everybody agrees they're willing to compete on price and service, but they were having to compete against taxes
The tax side, which, you know, at that time originally the state didn't even have a mechanism for charges.
Right.
So you're looking at, in Bartlesville, you know, a 9% difference in price right
pretty
off
significant.
The bat.
So what does it mean for businesses now?
Well, for businesses, I think our local businesses, obviously, depending on what they're buying, you know, I wouldn't think it'd be a whole lot of difference for them unless they're looking at buying larger machinery or equipment that they're needing in their facilities. And nothing's changed there because they always paid use tax on that stuff. Most of our businesses are probably buying stuff for resale, so they're not paying tax on that initially either. So I don't know there'd be a grand difference for our local businesses.
But in the past, if a business bought something and didn't pay sales tax, they should be aware that come January 1st, 2023,
paying use tax
they now owe a use tax on that. And not just the 4.5%, they'll also owe the city's portion. So we just want to be as clear as possible. This has a delayed implementation date, as we said. It doesn't go into effect until January of 2023, but we want to make sure that everyone understands what it means for them.
Part of the delayed implementation is for them to, have time to budget, prepare, plan for this use tax impact. It will affect them to some degree. Obviously, it probably depends on the nature of your business, how much effect it's going to have or won't have.
And in particular, if you have a large capital project that you're, or a large capital item that was not, you weren't going to owe tax on, and you were going to purchase it in June of 23, you have time now to either change your budget or to bump that up to December of 22.
It's mostly going to impact our businesses here is on capital improvements from that point forward.
Yeah. So we want to give everybody the opportunity to adjust their own practices. So that this is as painless as possible. Nobody likes taxes, but this is an issue of fairness. This is also an issue of ensuring that we are able to capture the growth so that we can continue to provide the services that citizens expect.
With the change in the law to where use tax now is technically out-of-state sales tax, the way it got codified at the state, it's really the only way the city of Bartlesville can continue doing business giving the citizens the level of service they've grown to expect, because everyone, I think, can see that the digital age is well upon us, and there's so many sales going through the internet or electronically that weren't in the past, and it is eroding the traditional sales tax base within our boundaries.
So what does this mean for the city of Bartlesville?
Well, I think, obviously, we do some pretty conservative estimates, obviously choosing some cities of like size and demographics, overall per capita income. And it's a wide range, but $1.7 to $3 million annually is kind of where we've conservatively estimated. I don't know if you can consider that conservative or not. It's a pretty broad range there.
Yeah.
But
when we go to plan for it, of course, we'll plan more on the low end.
Yeah, we'll be definitely on the low end till history tells us to budget
so
otherwise.
So we get some real numbers. And so assuming we get $2.5 million, which is reasonable, but that's not what we'll plan for because we're more conservative than that. But assuming we get $2.5 million a year, what percent of our general fund budget would that be?
That would probably be, let's say, trying to think what our overall. It'd be less than 10% of our overall general fund budget. It's probably somewhere around 7%.
So pretty significant increase in the resources available.
Absolutely,
that's what it means for the city. It gives us the resources that, frankly, all other cities have had. Almost all other cities, major cities have had for.
It would become
decades.
In the general fund our second largest revenue source
immediately, out of the gate. So it is very important to the city. We appreciate the citizens. We have received some input and some feedback. Most of it was either questions, or I got a lot of positive feedback. Didn't get a lot of negative feedback, which honestly did surprise me a little bit.
I think the biggest thing wasn't so much negative feedback. It was just people were unclear what it was.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. Trying to get an understanding of what use tax is.
Yep.
That was just the biggest hurdle.
So this has been a long time coming. We talk about how long it takes to get things done in government. This one took about 20 years.
You said 20. I've been here 15 years. It's been on the block the whole time, too. So,
but this was the right time to do it. Previous to this, it just wasn't the right time. So I appreciate everybody working with us to make this happen. And, again, we look forward to ensuring the financial viability and ensuring the services that we provide to the citizens for the long term, not just for a few months.
Definitely helps build stability.
Looking well into the future. So, all right. Well, thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. And we've also got Shelley McGill here with us. And Shelley is a lady of many hats. Well, she's less than what she used to be. Shelley actually came out of HR and for a while had HR, library, and museum. Now you're down to just the library and the museum primarily.
It is. I had a cemetery for a little while, too.
Oh, but, cemetery. Yeah, I almost left that one out. That's right.
So, yeah, I'm glad to be just down to the History Museum and the library.
Get focused sometimes.
Yes,
huh?
Yes. I wanted to talk today about Hoopla. Hoopla is a service that we just implemented November 1st. So one of the fastest growing services the library provides is our digital services. And so right now we already have OverDrive and Libby for book reading and audiobooks and meeting that need. And we have Freegle for music. But we added Hoopla for a specific reason. Right now, if you're on OverDrive and Libby, you may be frustrated from time to time that the books may not always be available when you go to get them because they are one user at a time. So you have to wait your turn just like you would with a physical material.
Traditional library type model.
Yes. Hoopla has concurrent usage statistics on it and usage. So an unlimited number of people can borrow that same book. And so there's no waiting, there's no holds, and it should be terribly exciting for people because we have about a million things out there that you can borrow. There are ebooks which you could read on your tablet, your phone, your computer. Doesn't matter. You can check out audiobooks and listen. There's comic books. There's TV, movies, and music. So one of the things people are kind of liking right now is the BBC TV shows.
Oh yeah,
they're out there, and so it's just really easy, and it's something that you can stream your titles on your desktop browser, on your mobile app. You can Chromecast them. You can use Roku. You can use Amazon Alexa. You can use your Amazon apps and your Android Auto. So it's one of those things that's very trendy and up to the minute, and I think you're going to get a lot of satisfaction from. So it's really the usage periods for the books are 21 days for the books, 72 hours for the videos, and the music is for a week. And so they have a really nice, robust children's program out there also. They have books and things in Spanish and other languages, so it meets that need as well.
Wow.
So how do you get it? What do you do? All you have to have is a library card. If you don't already have one and you can do one from your home, we have online digital card requests that you can go out to the library and just email it back to us, and we will get you your number, and you can do everything from your couch or your bed or wherever you want to. And so you can go to hoopladigital.com, which is HOOPLADIGITAL.com, and you can download that on your computer, or you can go to your Android device, and you can use the Android, the App Store and the Google Play Store, and download the Hoopla app. And it's as easy as putting in an email address, your library card number, and I think you also have to give your, there's one other thing, you have to put in a password. And then you have your account. There is a limited number of borrows per month, 5 borrows. We had to pick that number because we have to be able to afford it. So we may up that number in the future if we see that we have a little more resources available, but we're starting with 5. So we think 5 is enough if you're still using OverDrive and Libby and you're using Hoopla and you're using Freegle. You can use it across several services. And so we hope that everyone will truly love this service and you can go out there and check out something and never have to wait on it.
Pretty incredible. And the array of services now, digital services that are being offered by the library, I don't think any of us could have envisioned that even 5-10 years ago. We couldn't have envisioned that these kinds of things would be available. But libraries are certainly becoming much more than a place to go to read a magazine or check out a book. So appreciate all that you've done there. That is definitely a demand in our community, and it's great to see it being met by you all.
Thanks, Mike. We truly love being innovative and providing some services that are trendy and on task.
Absolutely. Yep, totally different group than what the library has traditionally appealed to in this manner. So, you also have an event coming up at the History Museum, Faces of the Lenape, November 16th, I think.
I believe that is the correct date. Yes, if you go out to the Facebook page or either our web page, you can see all the events at the History Museum, and I've been very proud of that staff at the museum. They have really upped their game. They're having events in the evenings. They are having events for each exhibit. They're really making the History Museum a great thing. I was at Mazio's eating lunch yesterday and overheard the table behind me, which was ConocoPhillips employees, and they were telling other people, and I was actually in Owosso yesterday at that Mazio's, and were telling about the Bartlesville History Museum and how you cool. got to go see it, because it's not a big museum, but it's a wonderful museum.
It is great.
And he was encouraging his fellow coworkers. So I didn't say anything, but it was really cool.
That is very cool. So November 16th starts at 7 p.m., and as you said, there's lots of ways to get information about that. This, of course, there's also City Beat. That's the one that I get most of my information from for the radio. In fact, I sit here with a copy of City Beat in front of me. So if you go to cityofbartlesville.org, you can sign up for that. There's also, should mention, there's a luminary service coming up. That'll be on December 20th at White Rose Cemetery. So that's quite an event, and always fantastic. So we're glad to have all these things going on in our community, and it's the temperature calms down a little bit, but maybe not too much. We can get out and enjoy some of these things. So, all right, anything else, Shelley?
Just one more thing to add on to the luminary service. If someone wants to buy they have candle glowing things that honor the people who are buried there.
Yes.
They're $5 each, and you can buy them at the library in our local family history section.
Okay. Well, thank you. It really is a beautiful service, and I hope everybody will get out and enjoy that.
It is very, very, you need to go if you haven't gone before.
All right. Well, thank you, Shelley. All right, Micah, slide on up here, and let's... Let's hear what's going on. What sort of inconveniences do you have planned for us this week,
Man,
Micah?
You know, I don't have that many.
But there's some. There's always
going to be some.
We laugh about it, but progress comes with a little bit of pain.
It does. A little bit of pain, typically. Yeah, typically. So
we do try to minimize it, I promise.
We try. So we're trying to wrap up a few pains in everybody's side. So at the community center, we've got the concrete out front. They just poured the last of that on Friday.
Looks really good.
Poured the last of colored concrete. There's a couple, there's those on the curb line there underneath the canopy. There's a couple of light wells, if you will, or drains there. And we've got to pour back some of that around there that's got broken up, and we're tearing some things out. So they got to pour those back. Those are small pours. So really, we'll let this concrete cure, and it'll be up and running.
We still
have to seal the joints and whatnot, but that'll be pretty quick work as well. So so that is pretty well wrapping up. We're also getting close on the auditorium renovation at the community center. So anybody
saw some photos of that. The new seats look good.
New seats do look good. It's you had that little bit of black accent in there with that orange. And, man, it looks fine.
Wow.
And that wasn't even my decision.
Did you see how he did
Wow. See how that all comes around?
Yeah.
I saw what you did there.
It looks really sharp around that ADA section. Looks great, man.
It keeps reminding me it's not his decision, but I have some doubts.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. I mean, I jumped on it when they suggested it. I was all in.
It does look nice. If we could work a little crimson and cream in there, though, I'd feel a lot better.
I don't know. Those kind of clash.
They do.
They really don't.
They do.
They
will in a few weeks as well.
Oh, man. We'll see how it goes. Maybe you guys can put Rattler back in on that game. You think you can pull him back in?
this is about to resemble a normal city meeting where we get way off on it.
We have digressed. I apologize. That's my fault. That's my fault. So, no, they did. Last week, they got started. They came in Monday, and they've got the first, I think it's four or five sections of seats installed as far as the...
They do look good. They really do look good.
The refurbished seats, they really look great. Val there at the community center, she's happy with it, thinks they look good. And so it'll be nice. I have cup holders on the arms now.
Yep.
Polly, they're not the old wooden ones with the... fabric that was kind of falling apart and whatnot.
Creaky arms.
And the other thing, too, it's funny, you didn't really notice it, but those old seats were kind of saggy and didn't provide a lot of support.
Yeah. I thought it was just me.
No, apparently it's all of us, or at least you and me. So now we sat in those, and, man, they're a lot more firm and provide
a little
support.
Taller.
Yeah, it's nice. It really is nice, and they look nice. So anyway, they got the first, I think it's four or five rows installed, and they're coming back, should be probably this Wednesday. And they're going to have actually more crews this time, so should get more set in this next round. It'll be a process. They basically what happens is they work on them back at their shop in Kansas City as far as the upholstery and the foam and all that stuff and get them put together. Then they bring a batch of them in here and they install. So it'll take a little while, still probably another couple months, but everything should be, I say a couple months, that's not true. They're going to try to have as many seats as possible for the bigger events that are upcoming here in November, December.
So. Trying to match the demand for seats.
Correct. So they're working on that. So that one's going well. We did finish up the ADA portion of that project, which essentially was we extended the existing wheelchair accessible area there in the kind of bottom right corner.
Yep.
And we extended that about double the length it was before. But really, there's not any more seating for the wheelchairs per se, but what it does allow is we're installing seats in between those so that they can have companions with them who may or may not be ADA accessible
and,
as well. So,
and I love that. That's the traditional. That's what you see.
It's what you see now newer facilities and whatnot. So made that modification, and so it'll be nice when it's all complete. So we're hoping to get that wrapped up here pretty quickly.
Good.
Let's see what else. We've got 20-inch water line on Frank Phillips. That's another one that has been ongoing for quite some time now. It's getting close. So we're going to do the tie-in. Actually, this morning it was start at 9 o'clock. I think they're going to start tying in there at Silver Lake Road for the main 20-inch tie-in
Is that the last tie-in
connecting? It's not the last one. We got one more down at Seats.
One more.
The last one that we'll do is there at CVS.
Okay.
There at Highway 75. But then we've got one. They'll probably start tonight or tomorrow on the one there at Birch. And they'll try to do it overnight, but they may work on that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But really, those three things, and they'll start laying sod and didn't clean up.
Get into
and
the restoration.
Get wrapped up. So, probably another couple weeks on that project, and we'll be getting that opened up and out of everybody's hair on that one as well. So
I was leaving the hospital the other day and I made a mistake of stopping on top of one of those
plates.
Oh. And someone else drove across it.
Oh, there you go.
It'll alarm you.
It's a little bouncy. So they should get rid of that here pretty quick.
I'm looking forward to that part being gone. I'm not going to lie.
Those are always fun. They're always fun. We actually had to adjust those ourselves. The contractor's already gone home for the weekend, and one of them had shifted. Terry and I in red got out there and used a chain in a truck. And
okay, so I'm not sure I want to hear the rest.
Some pry bars, and we got
I'm not sure I want to hear the rest of this story. It was probably me. I pulled up, slammed on the brake. Somebody hit it about the same time.
We were bouncing. That's what we're thinking probably happened. Someone probably just tried to slow down a little bit too quick, and the plate slid on us. So that project should be wrapping up here pretty quick as well. I wish I could say that the Woodland Drainage Project is wrapping up quickly as well, but it's not. We're still laboring through that one. So
is it about 50% or so?
It's about 50% right now. Now, what I'm hoping is that this, the harder portion of it was what they've already done. So you had the Cherokee Hills section of it where you had to completely rebuild Cherokee Hills Drive. So I'm hoping that this next section goes a little bit quicker. So we're looking at another 2 or 3 months to get that wrapped up.
And the delay was essentially solid rock.
We hit solid rock. So it's lack of space and
rock. Had to use small equipment because of the lack of space.
Yeah, the trifecta of pain there for us was the rock, the lack of space, and the utilities. We're in there pecking around with a little mini excavator with a hammer and on some rock that really, it's the same kind of rock that whenever they did Voice the Martyrs, similar type of rock. And when they did that, they came in there with the trencher on there. It's got the diamond bits and that giant wheel on it. And usually that'll make gravel when it grinds it up. It basically made a fine powder. So, it's just hard stuff.
Wow.
It's hard rock, and then they're working through it and laboring through it, and we realize that it's an inconvenience for the neighbors, and they're tired of it, and I don't blame them a bit. I would be, too. But if they can just hang with us a little bit longer.
Getting closer.
We're making progress. I want to go ahead and bring that one up. I don't want to just leave out the bad ones.
No, we
got to cover them all.
We're still working through that one, and it will be great. Should alleviate a lot of the issues through there.
Yeah. And the other one's exciting, though, is Sooner Pool. We had a pre-construction meeting on that with a contractor last week. We're starting November 15th is the official start date on that. They're targeted to be complete July 5th. That's the time constraint we've put on them with that. We're going to do a new parking lot with that project. Basically, that main parking lot that's kind of asphalt now will be redone as asphalt parking lot. We're going to do two large slides. These are 45-foot tower slides. They're about double what it is.
It'll be pretty awesome. Yep.
And, it'll be a cool project. So, again, you'll start seeing that coming into play. So.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to getting those wrapped up and that one started.
It'll be good.
All right. Thank you very much. This has been City Matters.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
KWON, Bartlesville. K227TQ, Bartlesville. K236CT, Pawhuska.
This is CBS.